The House Senate Tax Conference Committee will come to order. Members, if there's no objection, it would be my intention to have a slight correction explained, and then we will take the vote unless members wish to make further comment. So with that, if Ms. Templin could explain change from when the bill, I think it amounts to $20,000 on a TIF provision, or Ms. Schill or Ms. Templin, or thank you, Ms. Schill. You could explain how it's different from the way it was left the other evening.
Mr. Chair and members, if you turn to page 5 of the revised spreadsheet, that's the May 16th version, you'll find that there is a new line. It's labeled line 21. It's the A0102 David's Amendment entitled TIF Special Levy Tax Base Adjustment Included in the Living Limits When a TIF is Decertified. The way that language was written, it has a broad application across the state, and when Department of Revenue actually analyzed this, ran it through the model, it came out with an interaction effect in fiscal 14. So you'll see an additional cost of $24,000 in fiscal 14 only. And that is the only item that made a change to the spreadsheet.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Schill. Members, on page 5 of 13, on the spreadsheet dated as of 5/16/11, 6:02 p.m., advised, if you look at line 20, the A-102 David's provision, that was a TIF special levy language that we put together. I think a counselor from Brooklyn Park came in, and other cities were affected, like Andover, and was Andover one of them? I think several cities would be affected by this, and so to help them out, we staff put this language together. And
Mr. Chair,
Ms. Schill,
if I could interrupt you, I'm sorry. Mr. Chair and members.
What if I said no? You would anyways. Go ahead.
We found a discrepancy between two of the spreadsheets that were intended to be used tonight, and the one that we would like you to refer to is the one dated May 16th without a timestamp, but it is entitled House File 42-3E, as passed by the House, as passed by the Senate, posted conference agreement, and that's at the top of the page. So if you have the version that is timestamp 602, that's not quite where we want to be.
I got the wrong one. Okay, let's back up here. Just so I know what you're talking about. It's the one H42-3 is passed by the House, and then it's as of May 16, 2011, no timestamp. So if we go to page 5.
Correct. And then line 21 on page 5 of
okay,
that document.
Okay, members, line 21, and it's the language having to do with the TIF special levy tax base adjustment. Any questions or comments? Otherwise, I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Lincheski.
Mr. Chair, before you do that, can you tell me what the intent is of what we're doing here? Are we adopting the conference committee report right now?
Yes.
Can I just ask if, Mr. Chair, and the plan then is after that?
The plan on after that is to send it to the general register in the House, and then since it's a House file, and then it'll be taken up sometime in the next 7 days, and hopefully passed and sent over to the Senate. I'm not aware of the exact time when it's going to be brought up on the House floor.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I may, I'm just trying to understand. So the process is after it comes to the desk. Is the because you know I think this session comes down to the argument on revenue, you know the tax committee I think is going to be the final arbiter, whenever the end is. So I'm just trying to understand then. So you'll bring it to the floor and then the speaker can take it up at any time, or are there intentions to, you know, I mean you certainly don't need to tell me, but just asking do other efforts, either to use other vehicles to, you know, kind of send things and then try again before the last day of session, or
well, if
is
I
this kind of it?
Representative Lincheski, if I knew, I probably wouldn't tell anybody, but I actually don't know. Be the first one I tell. Ursula Lincheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And yeah, I'd be the last one. I know that. But I just, you know, on the record, I'm just, you know, trying to think this through just a little bit. And so I know, you know, you're probably in a hurry because we're on the floor.
Oh, right, I'm now. Not in a hurry. I'd just soon miss some floor.
Well, you know, I don't know if, yeah, it appears we're not going to walk through the spreadsheet, which, you know, is what I'm used to. But if we're not going to, I do have a couple questions about it, if
would,
I can.
Would you like to walk through the spreadsheet?
Well, I think it's the first page, really, that I'm trying to kind of think, you know, back out, big picture, for what is, you know, the two new majorities, what's their position on revenue? And I think this demonstrates, you know, the position on revenue for the House and Senate majorities. And we heard the governor's position, of course, the spreadsheet. With the governor's position is now not what's on here because he's come down on the income tax. He dropped the property tax on high-valued homes. And so there's changes now, you know, that the spreadsheet doesn't reflect. And that's not a criticism. It doesn't need to. But, you know, I'm trying to think of the way I read the spreadsheet now is when I looked at on the first page on line 10 and 11 at your targets for both tax relief and for cutting to raise revenue for the rest of the other committees. I see the savings were the $877 million and the tax relief was $154. And I'm trying to understand if this is an accurate representation of this bill, which is that on lines 3 and 4 now, on conference committee report 12 and 13, that we're looking at $202 million of tax relief and raising or savings through cuts of $925 million. Is that accurate? Yeah.
Let's have Ms. Schill go through the, and we can go through as much as you'd like to, but if could you please go through the first page or whatever Representative Lincheski would like.
Well, and Mr. Chair, while she's, because I think this part of the spreadsheet is Ms. Templin's, but, you know, I'm just trying to understand the big pieces. So the House had $330 million in tax relief, and that was basically the income tax cuts that tracked over time, and the Senate had the commercial industrial property tax relief. And it looks like you've now hit a target higher than the Senate tax relief, lower than the House tax relief. And I'm just trying to ascertain if that's a combination of the commercial industrial property tax relief and the marriage penalty, where the marriage penalty money fell on the spreadsheet.
Yes. But isn't that the is that first? And the property tax refund.
So that's, oh, yes, the PTR. So that's kind of the package of tax cuts with R&D credit and some other things in there, too. Is that all sustained in there? And then the number right below it is the savings or cuts, to, you know, increased LGA and other things to get you up to the 925.
Ursula Lincheski, R&D is in 1415, not 1213.
Right. Okay.
Why don't we have Ms. Templin, if it's okay, Ursula Lincheski, you still have the floor, but if we could go to Ms. Templin for description, walk through the spreadsheet there.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Schill and I will go through the tax revenues and the expenditures. And essentially what Representative Lincheski was describing is basically what is occurring in the spreadsheet. For the conference column on line 3, the general fund tax revenue changes, there were $202.7 million in tax revenue reductions. This includes pages 2, 3, and 4 of your spreadsheet. And in summary, that is in the fiscal 12 and 13 biennium, just quickly, that includes the acceleration of the phase-in of 100% sales weighting from tax year 14 to tax year 12. It also includes the donation of food inventory, the estate tax changes related to the exclusion for qualified farm properties and small business properties. It includes the sales tax exemptions and the statewide property tax levy reductions. And also, it also includes the federal conformity changes that include the increase in the standard deduction for married joint filers. So again, just to review, in fiscal 12 and 13, there was $202.7 million in tax revenue reductions. And in fiscal 14 and 15, there is $219.9 million in tax revenue reductions.
Mr. Chair.
Members, on line four, you'll see the summary of the general fund expenditure changes. In the conference column, fiscal 12 and 13, a total of $925.3 million in spending reductions, and in fiscals 14 and 15, a total of $1.2 billion or so in reductions. This line reflects the impacts on pages 5, 6, 7, and 8, with the bulk of those changes reflected in tax refunds, including homeowner PTR, renter's credit, renter PTR, repeal of SFIA, elimination of the political contribution refund. The bulk of that totals just shy of $200 million in 12 and 13, and a little bit less than that, $187 million in fiscal 14 and 15. Page 6 flows on to page 7 with property tax aids and credit changes, including PILT, disparity reduction aid, LGA payment changes, market value credit changes, including the conversion of the market value credit to the market value exclusion, and some minor other program impacts. The total for that subcategory is on page 8, with total savings in 12 and 13 of $966 million and another $1.1 billion savings in 14 and 15. The total, once again, for fiscals 12 and 13, $925.3 million, $1.2 billion in fiscal 14 and 15. You'll see on the summary page back on the front, line 5 gives you the summary of both the revenue changes and expenditure changes, and that's a total in fiscal 12 and 13 of $722.5 million, and then just a little bit over $1 billion in 14 and 15. And that's really the point where we wanted to reach the target, and that's the overall impact you see on line 12 is the $722,355, and that's how we met our budget target.
And Mr. Chair, also, I just want
to... Ms. Templin.
Point out there is also a governor's column to the far left, fiscal 12 and 13. His original budget recommendations were to raise $2.4 billion in revenue and with zero changes to the base for general fund expenditures for property tax aids and relief. As Representative Lencheski referenced, there has been new information from the governor that the number for total tax revenue increases is $1.8 million now instead
billion.
Of $2.4 billion. That's it.
Thank you, Ms. Templin. Thank you, Ms. Schill. Questions for Ms. Templin or Ms. Schill or Representative Lencheski?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. So I think that's an excellent way to Ms. Templin's final comment. If I could just ask on line 7 now, because I think that's the big line here on the House, Senate, Governor. Knowing the governor's numbers aren't right there now on line 7, they would be a different number if we had the new numbers. And, Mr. Chair, the way I had read this spreadsheet coming in is that the House position versus the governor was they were about $900 million apart. And the Senate was about $700 million from the governor. Well, now we've got $1 billion in difference in initial numbers, but with the governor's changing, do we know if the conference committee got closer or further away from compromise on the governor's number? Because I think this House was about 900 different, the Senate was 700, but now the governor's numbers have changed too. The House cut more, did more cutting. I mean, the conference did more cutting combined than either of you had coming in. And I'm just wondering if the disparity between the legislature and the governor has changed any or kind of still where we were going in.
Well, I would say probably still where we were going in, because there's still the revenue increases, and my authorizing environment would not allow any changes on that. That's Harvard language. Dave Bishop went to Harvard, and You always talk about authorizing environments, so. Representative Lencheski.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I may, I intend to vote no. I voted for your bill coming in. I'm going to vote no here, but I do want to just encourage you to continue working this week. I know I listened to the governor's press conference, and I listened to the House and Senate's press conference and the leadership, and I was happy to see neither tax chair was standing in front of the microphone saying they were done for the year. So that was good, I thought, because I do think that the issue will come down to revenue yet this year, and I listened to Senator Koch and Representative Zellers closely, and then Senator Bach and Representative Thiessen, and I think, you know, 7 days is a long time, and I think this is something to start with, but I hope everyone will continue working after you decide what you're going to do with House File 42.
Well, thank you, Representative Lencheski, and just for the record, I had been in conversation with Commissioner Franz, and he was very good to call me. We visited a little bit, and at this point, I was hoping with it being opened up, we could maybe get a little bit further. It didn't happen, so we will, like I say, said earlier today, 7 days in this business is a lifetime, and we're still hoping that we can get to the 23rd of May and get her done. So thank you, Commissioner Franz, for the call, and I actually put him on speed dial now. So it's kind of where you just pop it up and boom, there it is. So I'm probably not on his feed now, but I'm probably on a different list. But anyways, okay, so with that, any questions from members? Otherwise, I'll go to Chair Ortman for some comments, and then we'd go to questions from members. Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm curious, and I suspect others might be as well, in terms of your conversation with the commissioner. Are there any areas here that... Is the bill, from their perspective, totally a disaster, or are there some specific areas that he expressed concerns about?
Well, I'm not going to go into private conversation I have with the commissioner, but it'd be safe to say, Commissioner, I think we didn't quite get there today. Would that be safe?
Really close,
and,
though.
I mean, the commissioner, I'll certainly recognize the commissioner if he'd like to make any comments here, too. But we had a good visit this morning, but we didn't get her all put together, so it's right now it's at a different level than that. So,
well, but Mr. Chairman,
we'll keep working.
You know, may I ask the commissioner, Mr. Commissioner, is there room to work here?
Commissioner Franz,
Mr. Chair, Senator Senjum. Well, thank you for the question, and I, you know, somewhat like the chair was mentioning, I've had an authorizing event earlier today as well, and. I think that we understand that there's a, you know, wide difference here, and we're clearly going the wrong way, and we've got to figure out a way to change that. The problem, Senator Senjum, is that as we work through this, we've got some common areas. I mean, we've got some minor issues, but the research and development credit, for example, is one of the areas where we do have some commonality. I mean, I think What the governor has made clear to me is to be available to talk about ways to bridge this gap. You're right, it's a long time, and we're not going anywhere, even though you did separate Mr. Mossman from me tonight. of course, you don't know we're accomplished bridge players. We actually have signals that we can do back and forth. You know, it's a long time, and we really do want to be available. Being here, listening to the testimony, listening to the debate, I mean, clearly I think one of the things that's an advantage in any negotiation is for both sides to understand the other side's position. I certainly think that what we've been able to do and being here, the department being here, and listening to the testimony, listening to the debate between the members, and getting questions from all of you about your concerns and about the issues that you think that we need to address, we obviously have a lot of the same concerns. And we all want to see Minnesota grow. We all want to see jobs grow. We all want to see an environment that promotes, you know, jobs and opportunities for everybody. And we clearly have different ways of how we want to do that. So I guess what I would like to be sure that's communicated tonight on my behalf, on behalf of the governor, is a commitment to seeing if there are some areas that we can agree on. I think the problem that we have to have, as I was mentioning earlier, is we need to sort of start at the top and work our way down. I mean, one of the difficulties is not, at this point, having an agreement on a number. And I think clearly what the governor was intending to do today was to communicate, excuse me, a willingness to negotiate that number, to compromise that number in a significant way. I guess I was hoping there would be more of a positive response to that today, but that's something that we can work on, Senator Sinjum, and I'm certainly here to do that and here to any night or any day. It is a little unnerving to know that you're on Chair David's speed dial, but I appreciate that, and I'm willing to answer that call anytime. By the way, I called Senator Ortman first, Chair Davids, just so you know that.
Oh, that's good.
And, I forgot your Commissioner Myron or France. I'll find you. You're on here somewhere.
It won't go off. So anyway, as we go through this process and listen to each other, and we've all had communications, we've all talked about different issues that are important to us on one-on-ones and here in the committee, and clearly we're here to listen and to try to work toward a resolution. You're right, a week is a long time, and we'll do what we can to try to bridge that gap, Senator.
Further discussion? Or Senator Sinjum, you have the floor.
Only, Mr. Chair, I appreciate those words, and there's work to do, and it sounds like we've got a positive relationship here.
Further questions from members for fiscal staff, research, the Department of Revenue? Senator Ortman?
Mr. Chair, and to Senator Senjum's point, we have a good ability to work together, I believe, with Commissioner Franz, and I do believe that we'll be able to communicate well over the next week, no reason not to. And Chair Davis just confirmed he's got me in his speed dial, too. So we got a conversation going here.
Pretty high tech.
And so I want to be encouraging. I think that we will continue to talk. I am very concerned, Commissioner, about the letter that we received from the governor today. To me, that looked like a pretty big statement of unwillingness to see our point of view. And when I look at the specific items included, I'm very concerned that there is just an unwillingness to address what are very legitimate concerns on the part of legislators about the tax environment in the state of Minnesota, 50th worst in many rankings. I noticed in here the FOC foreign royalties subtraction and other corporate provisions are in here. They are regressive, very regressive. I mean, those taxes are the worst. And so when the governor has said, let's make our tax system more progressive, I really question whether that's his goal or whether there's some other goal here. And I wonder, because if he really wants to be more progressive, he wouldn't be raising these taxes. It's also anti-competitive. And so when you're talking about taxes that are going to be passed along to workers and laborers and consumers, I really question what it is he's trying to accomplish here.
Thank you, Senator Ortman. And I would just like to, again, before Senator Ortman makes the motion here, I'd really like to thank the conferees and the department and everyone that's been involved in this, from very capable and able staff to just everybody that's made this conference committee work. So I would entertain a motion, Senator Ortman.
Well, Mr. Chair, and I too want to express my gratitude for all the hard work and dedication of everyone in this room, including those that came and testified. You had a lot to do with the development of this bill. We may not have been able to accomplish everything you wanted here, but you were heard and your views were truly considered in the outcome here. So thank you for being here. And I do also want to thank specifically Beth Cadoon and Dan Mickelberg, who've helped our Tax Conference Committee and our Senate Tax Committee so much. And, of course, Bobby, he's done a great job of working with us. So with that, and to all of you who are here, thank you very much. I would make a motion at this time, Mr. Chair, to adopt the Conference Committee report on House File Number 42.
We can just voice vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No. Nope.
Motion prevails. Members, before we adjourn, we have the reports up here. If members could come and sign, and we'd like Everson Lucheski to go first. If she would. For anyone, I'll rephrase that. For anyone that would like to sign the report, you're certainly more than welcome to. Good government all the time. We are adjourned.
should change.